Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Customer-Led Groove Show, where we discuss and share the best practices and the latest trends in customer marketing, advocacy, and customer-led growth. Today's episode is brought to you by BASE, a pioneer in B2B marketing and the industry's first CLG ecosystem for customer-led marketers, sales, and product professionals. Okay, let's welcome the CLG team and today's guests.
Hi there, Scott Wilder here, and welcome to another episode of Customer-Led Groove. Today, I'm with Cynthia Hester. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, Scott.
So Cynthia works today at Google Cloud and Google Workspace, and in a minute, I'm going to ask her to explain the difference because as someone who thinks he's really cool and knows about technology, I often get asked that question, and we were talking before this, and I even got it wrong. But Cynthia, you know, she describes herself on LinkedIn as a passionate storyteller, a mentor, and I know I've seen her in action in terms of mentoring and also a leader. We had her at Obsession speaking, and previously she worked at New Relic, Salesforce, and VMware. So before we get started, before you tell me about your journey, maybe you can set the table here about Google Cloud, Google Workspace.
So Google Workspace is part of Google Cloud, and Google Cloud is Google's B2B cloud business, which I'm sure lots of people are familiar with. And Workspace is one of our portfolio pieces, solutions that we offer out to customers, really deals with our collaboration suite. So includes video conferencing through Meet, includes working in Docs, includes working in Slides. And then all of those things we built really in a way to allow teams to collaborate easier and better, especially in this world where we've got a very hybrid environment. Sometimes we're working side by side to our colleagues in person, and other times they are around the world or across the country. And the Workspace suite really gives us the ability to collaborate really efficiently. Excuse me.
No problem. So tell me a little bit about your journey. I mentioned some companies that you worked at before, which are great NASCAR brands. But just tell me how you got to Google and then let me back up. Tell me where you started. I think that's really important.
Right. I started like many folks in sales. So I was a sales rep for a number of years, and I really enjoyed the interaction with customers. And it's probably where this kind of the bug around just being customer facing really grabbed onto me. It was as early in my career when I was a sales rep. I've also done some work on the go-to-market side and business development side of things, and then moved into marketing almost as a forcing function through a reorg when I was at HP. And since then, I was asked to actually help build one of HP's kind of first customer advocacy programs or reference programs. And once I did that, I've kind of continued working primarily in that space. And one of the reasons I really like it is I get to hear about what customers are doing with the technology. And for me, that is just a lifelong passion. I'm a bit of a geek. I was an engineering major to start off in college, although I graduated with an economics degree. And the technology still has an attraction to me, especially when I think about how it can improve people's lives. And I don't think we focus on that enough in tech. Google does, which is I'm really fortunate to be working at a company that very much is focused on the user and how are we helping them? How are we impacting people's lives? So even within cloud, one of the things in our storytelling that I like to hear from customers is, how is this impacting your customers? So I know that we might be saving you money. I know that we might be increasing your productivity. I know that we might be helping you with digital transformation around your infrastructure. But all of that work to me is for naught if it doesn't impact the human that you are interfacing with. So whether that's your employee, your partners, your community, or your customers. And that's the part of this work that I really enjoy, is hearing from our customers about how this is, what they're doing with it to impact the lives of people that are in their communities.
So when you're working with, we'll say more junior people right now, and you know, we get so caught up in the programs, the campaigns, the deliverables, the technology, how do you encourage them to focus on the human experience, the human part?
I think that's the most compelling and interesting part of the story, is the human part of it. So for example, we enable many, many retailers around the world. And one of the things that a lot of them are focused on, both through COVID and now post-COVID, is the customer experience. How do they make it easier for customers to get the products that they want and they need? How do they make that shopping experience better, whether it's in-store in person or whether it's digital from their e-commerce site. And so we can talk about the technology, whether it's storage, security, you know, infrastructure, like we can talk about that. But when you talk about it and you don't mention how it's impacting customers, you could be talking about any company. But the Walmart customer is different than the Ocado customer, is different than the Woolworths customer, is different than the Target customer. And how those companies approach their customers is very different. They consider that part of their IP and part of their differentiation. So when I talk to these organizations, what I want to hear about is, hey, what's important to Walmart in terms of the experience they're trying to create for their customers? And Walmart also has a really big focus around their employees. And so that story is going to be different than what the experiences that Target's trying to build or the experiences that Ulta Beauty's trying to build. So when I'm talking to younger folks, like, land on the thing that excites you. And other than the product engineers, most people aren't super jazzed about new storage capability or increasing security. Well, security is a little bit different nowadays, especially because it impacts all of us. So that's probably not the best analogy today. But you know what I'm talking about, like, right? Like serverless and all those, like, they sound great, super exciting, technical. But after a while, you just get kind of bored because you don't really know how someone's using it. And one of the things I kind of use as my litmus test is that if I can get my mom excited or someone who's outside of tech excited to understand what the technology is doing, that's good storytelling because that means it's going to really apply and resonate with a broad audience.
I love the mom metaphor, the mom test.
Well, I can't take ownership of that. One of my old bosses used to use that back in the day. It's like, tell me about it so my mom can understand. And I've never forgotten that. And it really, what he was saying was that keep it simple. Use regular language. No jargon.
Do you have kind of a playbook or a consistent approach about how you get your customers to open up about their experiences?
You know, starting with open-ended questions is always a really good strategy and approach. Understanding what's important to them helps you then ask that the right question. So for example, knowing that one of our customers, one of the things they're really trying to do is around talent acquisition. And knowing that, then when we position and have say, hey, tell us about what you want, how you want to tell your story. We know you have a huge emphasis on talent and talent acquisition and retainment. Tell us a little bit more about how the technology is helping you do that. And so if you can build context that's relevant to your customer, that automatically gets them to open up. I mean, we as humans like telling our stories for the most part. You know, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, the minute someone asks you about yourself or something that makes you excited or happy, most of us tend to kind of lean in, sit up, and get more energized. And so I think if you think about making it personable, knowing the person that you're talking to, that will get them to open up.
So Google Cloud is selling to a corporation. How do you approach like multiple personas in that company, or how do you think about that?
Right. And as you can imagine, like with an organization as big as ours, we definitely have different groups that are focused on different parts of different personas. So we have a huge developer community that we are managing and engaging with all over the world. So there's a group actually focused on that group of people. We also have folks that are focused on the C-suite. We have people that are more focused on the technical users and our decision makers. And each one of them takes into consideration what each of those personas, like what's their most pressing problem? What's their most pressing pain point? How are we helping them solve that? And so my team, in terms of like a customer marketer or customer advocate, we really have to have, I would call, a much more holistic view around the personas. So if I look at a company, what I want to do, and I ask my team this all the time, is who's your storyteller? Who's the person that you're talking to? You know, one of my latest favorite examples is, you know, someone saying, oh, Nike's a great reference. That's awesome. There's about 200,000 people there. Who are you talking to? Who's your storyteller? And so the minute you ask that question, who's your storyteller? Who's your champion? Then you get down to the human piece of it. Who's that persona? And then you're off, right? Then you can go tell a really great story.
I like the fact that, you know, people think of Google as a technology company, but there's a lot of energy going into the different personas and taking that human perspective. Is customer marketing focused on kind of orchestrating and bringing everything together where, like you said, one group is focused on developers, one group is focused on CEOs? Is customer marketing kind of...
I like to take a very holistic approach to the telling of our customer stories. And even though it might cross different audiences and different personas, there still should be this overarching story either around innovation. It might be around customer experience. It might be around research and making an impact in a specific industry. Obviously, there's going to be lots of different layers to that story. And my team's job per each customer is to really be able to identify each one of those. And, you know, even though you have different groups focused on different personas, they too are really interested in that overall story for the customer. And so they might not be focused on a C-suite if they're the developer marketing organization, but they certainly have an awareness and want to understand what that story is at the business level. So I think no matter if you're focusing on each individual persona separately, or you're like my team really looking at it from a very holistic view, everybody needs what I call line of sight into all the pieces of the story, because that informs what the work that you're going to do, right? Knowing what the CIO, CTO, chief digital officer, what their pain points are and where they're trying to take the company helps you talk to their developers and show up in a much more informed manner. So you can ask some very specific questions when you get down to it.
So a lot of people listening in are in smaller companies and are one or two person, you know, customer marketing groups. But I think mm-hmm. it's what you just described is a great opportunity for that person to play a leadership role in the company to ensure the consistency or line of sight in the company. So,
yeah. And you'll find often, and especially folks that have been doing this work for a while, whether you're in a large organization or a smaller organization, a lot of times a customer marketing or advocacy team is that group that pulls everybody together, because we're actually looking at the customer organization from a very holistic view. It is not unusual for, you know, one group or the other not to actually be aware of everything that's going on. Enter the customer marketer or the customer reference manager who's like, oh, we want to tell this story. And we've got the developers talking about, but there's this key initiative that we heard from the CIO. This other group's actually working with them. Can we all meet together and come up with a much more robust story around everything that this customer is doing? So that is not unusual. And it's actually one of the things that I like about the work that I do, is because I do get to work with customer success, sales, product marketing, our AR community, and work with all of those groups, because they all have a different vested interest in the customer. But our commonality is we want to talk to those people. We want to talk to the same people.
Nice. One last question on this topic, and then I'll jump to the next. You mentioned customer success. How do you work with customer success? That's another question that comes up a lot in terms of consistency and all that.
Yeah. I mean, in different companies, they're organized very differently. So when I was at New Relic, our customer success organization was part of our chief revenue officer's remit. So that included marketing. It included growth engineering. It included customer success. So I worked really closely with our customer success team. And in fact, our chief customer officer was really kind of one of my, I would call, dotted line executives, because everything we did was with his organization. They're the folks that are responsible for getting customers up and running and going live. And so my team needs that information and needs to know what kind of experience the customer's having. Are they going live? Do they have results they want to talk about? We can track it from the when stage, but there's a lot of space between when and going live a lot of times, especially with larger companies. Smaller companies can kind of go live a little faster, but you still want to know when they go live, because that's when they're going to start to realize the value of the purchase that they made. And that typically is when they're most excited to share their story. So us having close connection with customer success to me is vital to our success, and being able to know exactly when the right time is to engage that customer. You know, a lot of teams are fairly lean, and so they really don't have the resources to kind of start from the win stage and track that timing until the customer goes live. They have some results. They really actually, you know, I have this vision of kind of an automated end-to-end workflow that says, I get some type of notification when we have a win. I get something else when it says, hey, the customer is actually being onboarded by either a PSO or customer success. And then I get another message when they've actually gone live and they started to have some level of experience on the product. So then I can track it. Then based on their consumption model and their experience with the product, we can make informed decisions about when the right time is to approach them about telling their story. And so it sounds simple, but it is not. It's super hard because in a lot of companies, each one of those steps I just described sits in a different group. Yep. They're using their own tech stack, own technology, and they may not have kind of transparency across the entire customer lifecycle. If you do, please take advantage of it because it is worth weight in gold to be able to do that. And especially when you're trying to scale your program and keep the team, you know, fairly lean.
Yeah, when it comes to customer-led growth, that synergy between groups is a really key ingredient. Sounds like you have a good product idea there in terms of trying to get all these systems to notify you.
That and a few million dollars and I'm off.
So I want to talk a little bit about the landscape of customer marketing. You know, you've worked at some really great companies, and I'm just curious of how you've seen customer marketing change and evolve. And, you know, right now we're in this moment where it's kind of customer marketing's time and all that, but it wasn't always that way. So maybe you can talk about the evolution as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think most organizations and companies understand the importance of customer marketing and certainly customer advocacy. Without it, it's the lifeblood of your company. So the whole reason for being is to be engaging with those customers, making sure they're having a really positive experience. And you want a group that is not responsible for selling and not responsible for marketing, but can really just engage with the customer at the relationship level and really do discovery and work with sales and support, giving those customers opportunities to do co-marketing with you, share their stories. And a lot of organizations are looking for that from their vendor partnerships in a lot of ways, especially when you have companies that are looking at themselves really differently. You know, there are retail organizations that consider themselves tech companies. There are manufacturing organizations that consider themselves tech companies. You know, we did an interview with the Ford CEO, Jim Farley, for Next this year. And one of the things he talked about is the importance of technology and digital transformation in the automotive industry and how important that is to Ford. And so when you have trends like that, I think most organizations then truly understand and appreciate how important it is to have an advocacy group that can just help you with customer engagement. I mean, it is a team sport. There's no one group that owns it and shouldn't, by the way, because each of us has our own part to play. You know, if I think about a cast putting on a performance from a theater perspective, everybody's got a role. And it's not even that one role is more important than the other. You need all the players to deliver, you know, kind of an award-winning performance. You need the director, you need a lead, you need a supporting cast. You need all of that in order to actually put on an amazing performance. And customer experience and customer marketing and sales and all of that, to me, carries the same analogy. We need the salesperson, we need the customer marketer, we need the product marketer, we need the product manager. Everybody has a role to play in creating a great customer experience and then encouraging the customer to share their story about, hey, here's the goodness that we've been able to develop and derive from this partnership. So I think, you know, probably back in the day, it might have seen as a nice to have, but now customers are a lot smarter. They're a lot more informed. It's easier for them to get information. They talk extensively to their peers. And when you have them having so much information around their decision-making, then you want to make sure you've got a group of people who can bring them along within your organization. And that, I think, has probably been the biggest change is that everybody's now understands, hey, how important it is to make sure everyone understands that delivering a positive customer experience is part of your job.
And how are you or how is the team evaluated in terms of success? What sort of success metrics are you, you know, judged by?
You know, we have both a sales program, a sales reference program, where we are supporting deals, opportunities. And so we track how much revenue do we touch or, you know, support or influence. It's very hard as customer marketers to say, hey, because of the referencing, hey, this deal closed. And I actually don't think that we should over-rotate on that and waste too much time worrying about, well, did that make the difference? Because again, if you go back to my analogy about being a team sport, everybody had a part to play. And we know references are important. Research has told us that. Customers are talking to their peers to make their buying decision. And the bigger the buying decision, the more important those conversations are. And the reference team is the group helping broker that conversation, making sure that the prospect is talking to someone else who's, you know, has a similar demographic and a similar experience around whatever product it is they're interested in buying. And so I think when you think about it from that perspective, being able to measure how much pipeline we touch, what percentage of those deals actually close. You know, so we'll look at like, oh, we touched X billion dollars of revenue in supporting the sales organization. And out of that X billion dollars of revenue, this much of it actually closed. So that's one measure we use. The other is, how are we supporting all the marketing go-to-market activities, whether that's events, campaigns, field marketing webinars, executive events. We're providing them with customer speakers, customer content, videos. On the other side of the sales opportunity piece is they're doing presentations to customers all the time. Do they have the proof points that they need? So for all of our prioritized products and solutions and industries, do we have examples of good partnerships and value that we've delivered to a customer? Do we have that in the hands of sales?
So just getting in the weeds for a second, do they look at, I mean, do they look at number of touches with somebody who's going to be a reference, or is, are they looking at some sort of attribution model where a percentage of that deal is related to, you know, tied to you guys? How do you guys look at it?
I look at it just from an pure opportunity level. So let's say, for example, we had a deal that was worth $10 million and we provided 6 different reference calls to support that deal. I'm not going to try and slice and dice it and determine like, oh, this call was worth more than that call.
Yeah.
If the deal closes, we help support $10 million in closure. And I think keeping it simple is best, especially when it comes to the work that we do, because a lot of our success is not only based on, do we have the right customer to put in front of a prospect, but it's built on relationships. So we're talking to sales, we're giving those customers something back for the work that they're helping support us doing. So giving them the opportunity to talk about their success, giving the champions, the humans that we're talking with, an opportunity to share their expertise. That's why communities are so important. Advisory boards are so important, because you can really give individuals a platform outside of their organizations that gives them the ability to build their personal brand and actually showcase their expertise.
Yeah. No, I like that. I think a lot of times C-level folks get way in the weeds in terms of attribution and trying to break it down by, you know, dollars and percentages, where, and that alone will change the argument from a team perspective to an individual perspective. So,
exactly.
So just one more topic before we wrap up. At Obsession, the conference that Base put on, you talked a little bit about technologies and things like that. I know you love technology like me.
I do. A little bit of a geek.
Power to the geeks.
Yeah.
You know, if you look to next year, I'm just curious of kind of what trends or what technologies, you know, there's a lot of, as we're recording this, you know, there's chat and AI people are talking about. You talked about Web3. What do you see for next year, for 2023?
Yeah, I mean, I think that customer marketing, customer advocacy groups are really going to be looking at ways they can be smarter, be able to make informed decisions based on data. And so anything that includes some type of AI, ML, where they can actually scale and be able to determine the right decisions to make based on really informed data, super important. Any technology that's going to give you the ability to create content easily and in an agile manner. And by that, I mean something where you don't have to spend, you know, to do kind of a long form case study, which most organizations are going away from, just because in this world of TikTok and really short form videos in YouTube, guess what? Like, we're not spending as much time. No one's got the time really to read 2 or 3 pages of a case study when they could listen to someone in a YouTube video and get the essence of the value they gained from a solution, or talk about their experience in terms of their successful project. And I can do that when I'm riding in my car. I can do it if I'm on public transportation. Whereas again, if you have a PDF of something, you need to be sitting down and reading it. And so with all the information out there, I think lots of organizations are going to be moving more to short form, getting customers content in easy to consume, you know, chunks and bits and things that are easy to access. In terms of the back end, in terms of just how you're managing your program, I truly believe like you need a true system of record, a database, whatever terminology platform you want to use so that as much as you can build a customer 360 so that sales can see, oh, this customer speaker actually spoke at 5 events last quarter. If for no other reason than to say thank you when you talk to the person, right? I want to make sure that when our sales executives or even our marketing or product executives go meet with customers, that they have a way to get just a synopsis of everything, all of our touch points around that customer. And again, I'm making it sound really simple, but it's actually not. It's pretty hard because again, today, all of those things like customer health, NPS, they're sitting in different silos. And so I think if I, you know, my request to all the technology companies that are helping us build the new tools is please help us figure out a way to tie those silos together from a customer experience perspective, because we need that. It will make us much more informed. We'll be able to make better decisions. We'll move faster as an organization. And the more transparency you have across the customer experience, so everybody knows what's going on with your top 10 customers or your bottom 10 customers, then guess what? We can work as a group to actually improve the experience for the customer.
Amen. No, I love that. It's so true. I mean, I've been taking a lot of notes here, short form versus these long form case studies. I still am asking questions about like, how do I create this long, this case study? And I'm like, you need to think about it differently. I don't even know if we should call it a case study. And then
I think you're so right. Like every time I say case study, it kind of like makes me get a little uncomfortable, mostly because of the image that it conjures up for most people, which is long form.
Yep.
And so I almost feel like we need a new term to talk about the story content or the story asset, because it might be podcast that runs for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. It could be a short video. It could be a social card where it's got a quote on it and then points to an interactive or more conversational blog about a best practice. And so they're all case studies when you think about it. It's just the format of how you're telling the story that is changing.
I think you and I should put together a course on the CLG campus on this new short form format.
I'm all in. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I love nothing better than just innovating and coming up with new ways and new ideas to do the work that we do. So
there's two last things
I'd
like
to ask. I'm happy to join you on that quest.
Okay. No, that would be great, because I'm like, I think it's definitely, definitely needed. And, like on the CLG campus, having practitioners provide courses, I'm going for what I call the 10 by 10 rule, which is 10 lessons. Each lesson is a 10-minute video. And nothing more.
There you go. Just
really short, because, a lot of, I worked at Udacity, Coursera, these other places, and 30% of the folks actually make it through there. But I mean, 70% drop off at some point.
Exactly. I mean, it's like e-learning is a perfect example. Like how many times have we gotten on and they tell you the course is 50 minutes? 50. Oh my gosh. And nobody can get through it in one setting, by the way. Everybody's like starting and stopping. It's like, what if you created these 10, maybe 50-minute modules and just shrinked it up so it's easier to consume? Like you'd be able to, people would finish. They would absolutely finish.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that's why I'm going for the 10 by 10 model. It's easier for me to say than 10 by 15.
No, 10 by 10. I love it. Simple, easy to remember.
So, is there anything I haven't asked you today you're like, damn, Wilder, you should have asked me that?
No, I mean, you hit on all my passion points, I have to say, which is customer experience, storytelling about the goodness of the technology that we deliver. I think a lot of time is spent kind of bashing technology companies. Some of it is justified. I'm not going to say it's not. And I think we miss an opportunity a lot of times to talk about the good that we're doing to really make things better in the world. And I know that sounds probably a little kind of big and audacious, but that's intentional, is that technology done well actually can impact people's lives in a very meaningful way. So you hit on all the good points.
Good. And then one last question is, who or what has influenced you the most in your professional career? Just pick a person, a book, a whatever.
Oh, man.
Experience.
You know what I have to say? I have to say my dad. He had three daughters, and like probably a lot of men in the world, he probably wanted a son in there somewhere. He didn't get one. And he always encouraged me to just do good work, always keep my word. And then he never said I couldn't do anything. He really encouraged me to just go do whatever it is I wanted to do. So I have to say that he's probably my biggest inspiration.
Nice, nice. I hope someday my daughter says that about me. She's only 11. But anyway, Cynthia, this has been great. I'm really thank you for joining me today. Yeah, so thank you. And then I'm going to wrap up here, but I want to thank everybody for joining us on Customer Led Groove. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, of course, the CLG campus and Alexa. But unlike other people that say, come like us on those platforms, I like to say, just listen and then play it forward and share it with somebody else. Thank you.
Nice. I like that. Thank you, Scott. Been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you again for joining Customer Led Groove. Remember, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the CLG campus. Feel free to rate us, follow us, and leave a comment on any of those platforms. We hope to see you again soon when we're back in the Customer Led Groove.